Hopefully. Technology is never our friend here in Buttershaw, but we have an Aubrey. So I trust in his capabilities. And an Alex. Maybe that's why we have all these problems. I don't know. Just throwing that. Hey! So as Alex did say, we are going to be starting some new things this year. But I thought before we just launch into what these new things are, it'd be good just to spend a few minutes looking at the basic vision. Because we all want the vision to grow. We want to live out the vision. But I think it's good to remind ourselves of what that vision is. So I've done this in a nice PowerPoint to maybe help rush the conversation, the chatting along. But just so we've got a reference point before we move on to anything new. Is that okay? Excellent. Right, second slide, please, Mr. Aubrey. So, as I've been praying over the last probably about four to six months, thinking about what God has called us to do, I had a strong picture of a train track. Because the thing with the train track is that you need ground. You need firm ground. And also you need rails to bear the weight of what you want to go in and also the direction which you're pointing to. And obviously the direction we are pointing to is God. So that's good to acknowledge that. But also we're pointing in the direction of our calling, both individually but also corporately. And we know that our calling is Buttershaw, specifically. That God has called each and every one of us to Buttershaw, to live out our personal anointing and sharing the good news. And we all agreed on that. Now, in the past, we've talked about scaffolding, that we are the scaffolding, that God has put us in place to hold up the work and the mission of the church. But the thing is with that kind of thinking, particularly about being called scaffolders, is that scaffolding seems a bit temporary. That's something you put round a building or in a building just to do a bit of touch-up work or add a bit of structural integrity for a short time. But it's not so much a permanent thing. I'm sure no one would go to buy a house if it's covered in scaffolding, because he'd be like, a few questions there. So we've been thinking and talking a lot more over the last year about being pillars rather than scaffolding, because there's something about a pillar that seems has a longer life than a scaffolding tower. But often when we think about pillars, we think about a pillar being upright. And obviously, the train track is laid on pillars. Can I have the next slide, please? But I feel that God is saying that we are pillars not to be upright. We are pillars to be laid down. Now, in the Bible, it says when you come into the presence of God, you will be prostrate. That means laid flat on the ground because of his glory. And God has called us to be pillars, and he's actually called us to lay ourselves down before him. He is God. He is worth laying our lives down for. But I think it goes a little further, because the reason why I chose this particular picture is he's lying not on a nice clean surface. He's lying down in the dirt. He's put himself in a position that anyone else will probably not choose to put themselves in. And I feel this is a bit of a word for us, that God has called us to live out our lives in a position that we may not have chosen. I did not choose Buttershaw. I didn't even choose Bradford. When God told me Bradford, I really can't explain some of the feelings I have because there is children in here. But to be honest, my heart sank. But when I actually came to Buttershaw, both me and Maz, 10 years ago, within 2 minutes, I know God had spoken. I know God had called me to Buttershaw. And now I'm here. My heart is in love with Buttershaw because he has called me and he's anointed me. And I have become a pillar, not of stature, but I have laid my life down for the cause, for God's rails and direction to lay upon me. And I believe God is calling each and every one of us to be them pillars. And I think you already are. So some of it is calling it out. This is what you're doing. You are pillars. And you are God's people for him to lay his glory on. Okay, next slide. This is just confirming, really, what I believe God is saying. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. The pillars. We are the pillars. We are called to be pillars that lay down our lives. Lay down our own personal plans and put God's plan before us. Lay down so we can bring opportunity to those to hear the good news that haven't yet heard it. Next slide, please. The Word of God is alive and active. Now, these aren't just words I'm just throwing out. These are words that we stand on. We believe that the Bible is God ordained. We may not understand everything that's in this book, but we believe it comes from God. But one thing that we need to be assured of is as individuals, but also as a church, that the words he has spoken to you has life. And I know some of us struggle sometimes. I know this because I struggle. I don't often feel alive in my calling. Sometimes I feel like it's a struggle. But I think it's good, before we actually get into more of the vision, is that God has and continues to speak words of life into each and every one of us. You are alive. You may not feel it, but you are. Because God's words of life has been planted as a seed inside you. And when we come together, that can look very, very messy, but also very, very beautiful. Next slide, please, Aubrey. So, what I'm going to do in this nice formation of slides is just, I'm just going to break down the three main areas of what God has called us to do. And also there's going to be 3 points. So, our vision, what God has said, what have we done or what has it looked like, and what's next? ? Now, when I just want to make a key point on the what's next. This what's next is not just saying this is what is going to happen. Some of them might happen. Some of them won't happen. And that list is not just contained to the few things that I've put on here. I just want to give a brief overview of what God has said, what we've done and what we've seen, and what maybe is next. So, next clicker. So God has called us to be a house of prayer. Remember when I spoke about this, is that I feel that we are very, very good at lots of things. But probably one of our weaker areas was prayer. Not to say that people weren't praying, But I think of actually organising and equipping ourselves and releasing us to prayer, I think we could have done more on. God has called us to be a house of prayer. Now, just before I click on the next one, and I've already mentioned this, it's a kind of a subside to it, but we're also called to be people who believe God's word. But I think that goes without saying, really. So I think we are planted in the word, we live from the word, but prayer was a very big priority. So next one, please. So what have we done or what have we seen? Well, we've seen prayer every Wednesday. That's kind of our house of prayer day, where we've actually put a little bit of structure in. We pray at 6:30, 11, and 7:15. So we started a new rhythm. And we've also done prayer nights. I don't know if any of you have engaged in the prayer nights, but they've been excellent to spend our time and give our time together focusing on God. And they've been really, really powerful. So what's next? So the next thing could be having weeks of prayer with more focus. So maybe opening the church from 7 till 8:30 in the evening and inviting the church and others to come and pray. Say we're going to have a week of prayer and we're going to pray about something specific or something we feel God has laid on our hearts. But we could also have a full day of prayer. Or we can join others with prayer. We have started something up, and I feel that over the last year, we've got it. It's part of us now. We understand that, yes, we're called to prayer. And we're committed to praying. And we're setting up avenues for that to happen. So if anything that is not on there, that God is speaking to you specifically about prayer, he may give you a vision. It could be just a one-off event, or it could be something that we can start to build into our rhythms as a church and as a community. Are you with me? Okay, excellent. Next one, please. So speeding up the slides, now you're getting used to it. Our vision, the anointing. God has called us, as I've already mentioned, to live out, to be pillars for him to lay his foundation on. But remember the word I talked about, anointing, growing in our own personal anointing, identifying what the gifts God has put into you and giving opportunities for them to grow. Not just grow so others can witness it, so we grow in maturity. That we're not just reliant on others to lead, but we're actually allowing God to lead us through his anointing that he's put on us. So, what have we done? So, very simply, we've seen more people lead at church. Wasn't it great to see Judy again leading? And there's been many others that we've recognized their heart and their personal anointing. I would not deny that Judy is an utter worshipper. Whether she's up on the front or up in the back or racing down the street at 100 miles an hour, as Judy does, she's a worshipper. Her life is lived out from worship. So we create more opportunities. Sorry, Judy, for picking on you, but we need to seek out them opportunities for personal anointing to grow. But we also have seen a freedom being released on us as a church. A freedom that has allowed people to speak out and share ideas and go in different directions or see a need and feel the freedom to say, hey, I want to stand in that area of need. Particularly when I think about that, I think what Kate's done with Heroes. That we are so blessed to have young children. But we weren't really providing for them that well. and to offer not just a place for them to worship and encounter God, but also express their own giftings. I would love to see that grow more. Next slide, please. So what's next? Seek out new resources. And this is a thing that we can all do. But also, it's a challenge for us as leaders to think, what resources can we bring in and use as make it part of us? One of the main things that I'm reading at the moment is the story of Feldy Brennan. And actually, I'm going to be speaking again next week because I think some of the things that they are doing and experiencing is actually speaking close to where we are heading. So I'm really excited about the opportunity to share that. Form new partnerships with other churches and organisations. We already do this, and we do this very well. We have Eden. We have Eden. We did have Eden. We have Eden, and we have the healing rooms. Come on. Both is where we join with external organisations to carry out the work and the plan and purposes of God here on Buttershaw through his pillars of faith. But maybe there's others. Maybe there's more opportunity for us to stand with those that will benefit the people of Buttershaw. So that could be other churches. And we have started to work more with other churches. But I don't want to kind of limit to say what we have is what is. I want to give you, us, God, the opportunity to say, yes, but have you considered this? There is more. Next slide, please. And finally, the third thing that God shared with us as a church is that we are a gospel-centered church, that the good news is at the heart and center of who we are. We are very good at showing God's love. We are, as a sociable activation of mission, we are excellent. And we are recognized for the heart that we carry out into the community by all the things that we do. But one thing I felt God was saying to us, and no one's disagreed with me yet, was we weren't very good at telling the good news. We're good at showing the good news, but we weren't so good at telling. So, what have we done about it? Well, we just see more people. We just see more people. Because we've been sharing not just what we do, but who we are. Liz, the two Lizzies. I do want to name these two out. Liz Martell and Liz Radice are brilliant at connecting with people. And not just showing the good news, but actually sharing the good news. But I think we need to do that more as a church. I know Judy reaches out to lots of people and supports people practically, but she's also willing to pray for them and pray for them. And I'm not, if I haven't mentioned your name, I'm not trying to accuse you of not doing it. I'm just saying I want to encourage us that we should do more of it and name it and call it out. But part of it, we have seen more people. Eden outreach events. We have, as an Eden team, not only started to target the children, which we have, and the young people, but we're making and seeing better connections with the parents. And we've started to invite them to stuff. And they've been coming. Healing rooms. So the healing rooms have been taking that good news out. They've done healing on the streets. Judy's part of the healing on the streets team. We have seen more people engaging, receiving healing, particularly here on a Tuesday. Not as many as we would like to, but we have started moving in that direction. And worked alongside other churches to bring the good news. Obviously, we did the thing at Christmas and last Easter with St. Michael's and others, and we're looking to grow that. So what's next? Again, seek out new resources, new ways. We did Alpha, didn't we? That is a great resource that we've used. More partnership events. The startup course. This is something that we are going to do. It's a bit like an Alpha course, but it's in short bites, and we're going to do it with St. Michael's, St. Paul's, St. John's Church, and we're going to have a chance to be involved in that. And it's done over 6 weeks. And I think this is an exciting opportunity for us to do what we do well, which is usually based around food, but also a chance for us to grow and share our personal testimonies and pray with people. And then last, the first Sunday's changing. And this is where I'm going to end. Because next week I'm going to speak a bit more about this. But if you have the next slide. I'm calling it House Church. Because I didn't know what else to call it. No, I'm calling it House Church because this is the heart of what we're doing. That we're going to be sending you guys out with the covering and the blessing of us as a church to do church from your house or in the playground or in a coffee shop or riding your bike or sailing or fishing or eating. Yay! That we're going to try something new. And it's going to look different and it's going to be a bit messy. But I feel that this idea of house church, of releasing those to step out and take the good news to the people that they struggle to meet through the week. Or find the time to invite someone into their home or invest in their not only their personal hobbies but include others. For me, this is all church. Sharing the good news through our lives and the people that he's given us, the personal anointing he's given us with the covering of prayer. And I'm really excited about it. So next week, I'm going to explain the whole vision and some practical things of what this might look like for you. And then we might start seeing some baptisms. This is where we're heading. That's the ultimate vision, really, is to see people receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get them wet. Release them in their anointing. And not being bothered if they come to this church, St. Michael, St. Aidan, St. Paul's. Let's just see God's love and movement come alive in our community. Come alive in our own lives. So that's it. That's the vision. Let's just pray. If you do have any specific questions, then please do come and speak to me. Or any of the leaders, really. But specifically, if you've got something that you're not sure about, don't worry, because that might make two of us. But let's